Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It is my favourite time of the week. It is the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, Martin Atkins and Ollie Cook. And what a show we have coming up for you, because there are two games to get our teeth into. That brilliant 3-0 thrashing of Derby on the weekend and some result last night. We can maybe gloss over it, but a bit of cheating going on there. No, I won't start on that foot. Obviously, Bristol City beating the Addicts last night 2-1. So much to talk about with those games. We'll be joined by Brian Cole, the Charlton Stadium announcer, and we'll talk about Charlton's incredible calendar year, because if you don't know, we will tell you all about it. But the points they have amassed in 2019, well, it is something special, a certain achievement but by anyone's standards. And then we'll look towards the game on the weekend. It is West Brom, and I'm delighted to say we'll be joined once again by Matt Dainty. A really pleasure to have him on. And if you want to get involved and call us and put your questions to the SEC pod, then do tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. There's so much to begin with. Let's start on a positive, because it's always a nice place to start there, Paul. 3-0 Derby, what a performance, excellent goals, clean sheet. It doesn't really get much better from that perspective.
No, that's right. It was actually probably our best performance of the season so far. And, we just had Derby under the cosh. I mean, very disappointed with Derby. And you were bang on, Charlie, because you weren't impressed with them when we were talking about them last week. And that turned out to be the case. Look at him. He's
giving us an old wink over there.
Yeah, bless him.
Do you expect anything less?
No. Well, we've got great experts here in the studio. it was ironic because they had a lot of possession, Derby. But I felt that we were the dominant side, i.e., they didn't do anything with their possession. And as Rob said to me at the game, who obviously comes on the show from time to time, he felt that Derby were like a poor man's Leeds, that just offered nothing. And Curtis Davis, I think he's their captain, he came out and he just said there was just no attitude. The attitude was wrong. There was no desire. But we just didn't allow them to play. We were in their faces. Always there for the 50-50 balls, second balls, and we were always a threat going forward. And it was great to see three goals scored, different scorers, and doing it without our great Lyle Taylor, of course.
Yeah, and we meant, I know you was going to jump in there, sorry Mark, you mentioned the great Lyle Taylor. Let's mention the great Macaulay Bond, because ever since he come on the show, another thing, he stopped scoring.
He stopped scoring again, you know what I mean? I put that out on Twitter the other day and he liked it.
I did,
you know, so he knows the score.
He's always welcome.
Well, I've got to, just concur with everything Paul said. I mean, I just felt Derby had loads of possession, but when it mattered in that final third, in their first third, we pressed them so high. Conor Gallagher, his energy was just phenomenal.
He's unbelievable. Oh, I know every week I don't want to just sort of overdo it, but he is really turning into that.
However, what I will say is I know he will get all the plaudits, and rightly so, but for me, my man of the match on the day was Josh Cullen. He was magnificent for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we were saying that Derby didn't do anything with their possession, but that's the way we played.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Derby not being great, and they didn't have a great game, let's be fair, but that's the way we've been playing this season. Teams struggle to score against us, and when they do, they start getting sloppy at the back, and that's when we scored.
There's no plan B.
They have no plan B against us. And then, great goals from Bond and, Naby Sarr's header, but Conor Gallagher's finish, a little dip over the keeper.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was a special goal. But Bonds was a special finish. I just felt like, you mentioned it there, Paul, Charlton were always first aggressive. They were pressing to get that ball back. And not only that, it was almost a triangle passing, the one-touch football. It was a delight to see. It felt like, you said, maybe the best performance of the season, but a statement win, regardless if whatever Derby are doing this season. But we mentioned how flat they were. This was the first game out of the international break. They should have been working on it. They weren't at the races whatsoever. A number of players should have and could have been in the team of the week, but only Conor Gallagher got into it. Mark, what did you make of that?
Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed, but there was, I don't care. I'm not that bothered, I mean,
we had it in League One, didn't we? We didn't have any players in the League One season.
It'd be difficult. I mean, to be honest, you could have picked Prattley, you could have picked Gallagher, Cullen, you know, any of them could have gone in. Mm. But going back to Macaulay Bond's goal, I mean, that was a finish of a...
That was top draw.
Top draw. Mm. Well, and I don't care, I said it a few weeks ago, I don't care what division you're in, if you're a goal scorer and you're confident, you'll always score goals at every level.
Well, yeah. This is the problem. You only need one goal, don't you? The strikers, you know, they thrive on confidence like that. They get one goal, they open the floodgates, and then they pour in. Only on the Leighton Orient fan show this week, you know, they're saying, we miss Macaulay Bond so much. Mm. And, you know, this is a player that's scoring goals in the Championship. How many would have got in the leagues below? And people were questioning whether he could score goals in the Championship.
Well, he was questioning it himself. He wasn't sure that he's up for the level. He wasn't sure that he could be a Championship goal scorer. Gets one goal... A bit fortunate against Leeds, but his confidence has gone through the roof. His goal against Fulham was brilliant. His goal last night was brilliant. Mm. And his goal against Derby was his best one, in my opinion. It was a fantastic finish.
Yeah.
And he's just banging them in. It's all about that confidence. And where he got that confidence is probably when we told him he's a good goal scorer on the radio. So you're welcome, Macaulay.
it does help. He's getting supplied with the bullets by the little wizard who's now out injured for a couple of months. But you know,
yeah, we have to talk about Williams. He's out for 2 months. This is a big, big blow. I was going to hold off on that, Mark. I was trying to do all the positives first, but let's talk about a negative because it's a huge blow, isn't it, Mark?
Oh, it's massive. I mean, you know, even in that 20 minutes that he played against Derby, they couldn't handle him. You know, as I said, he's a little wizard. He just buzzes about. You know, he set the goal up. And, we're going to miss him dearly.
And we have now the Turkish Messi to step in his place.
Well,
so.
Let's see if he can step up, yeah.
But, Ollie, you mentioned it, and I just thought, you know, there was never a moment when Lyle Taylor got his injury, like, oh, no, where are the goals coming from? And we're still getting the performances. And this is, you know, this is down to the staff, the players, the manager. I don't want to say you haven't missed Lyle Taylor, but it's not been as noticeable. Now Williams is going down. Someone else might step up just in that place, Paul.
Well, someone did step up on Saturday because I wasn't too perturbed when Sam Field came on because Sam Field is obviously a completely different player to Johnny Williams, but he provided that solidity, that simple football, hard-working football, and that's what he produced. But then, hey-ho, look what happened last night. Sam Field has now disappeared, and he's probably going to be injured and be out for a little while. So we are getting to the bare bones, but we'll probably talk about that a bit later. But as you say, Charlie... The way Lee has got the squad, he's just got it all set up that the players can come in and they just do their jobs to the instructions of the management staff.
Yeah, completely. Before we look at the Bristol City game, because obviously I watched Charlton Derby 3-0, and then on that day, Fulham lost. On the Tuesday night, Swansea lost 3-0 to Brentford. Mm. West Brom were 2-0 down to bottom of the league, Barnsley. They did come back 2-2. Leeds only got a draw at Preston. I say only, two obviously teams that are at the higher
Forest
end.
Forest lost.
But only a point. Forest lost on the Wednesday. Yep. This league's open for anyone. No one's taking it by the scruff of the neck. No one's emerging from the pack. I know Charlton didn't get the points last night, but you've got to be looking around here going... almost taking it as a consolation, going, everyone can get a defeat on the road. Everyone's slipping up points here, Mark.
Everyone are going to drop points. Mm. That's just fact of football, you know, no matter what, no matter how throughout the years, teams lose games. That's just the way it is. But what you're saying about this division, it's just ridiculous. I mean, you know, from us, we was 11 points from the bottom three, but 4-2 from the top. Mm. You know, it's just like, it's topsy-turvy. No, as I heard you say on when you change over with Johnny Barrow, like, no one's taking the division by the scruff of the neck. This division's wide open.
It is, and... Every time you think, oh, here we go, someone's going on a little run, because I heard it just before the West Brom game, and it was only one game, but everyone's like, oh, West Brom, Forest, unbeaten since the opening day of the season. Well, they've just had back-to-back defeats, Wigan and Hull, so it's still for anyone.
After the Swansea game, we all sat in here and said, cool, they're the best team we've played this season, ain't won since.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah, isn't it?
And on the Brentford fan show on Monday night, that, you know, they're themselves, full of honesty, they went, we got no chance against Swansea tomorrow. We won't go and get a result there. They're playing great football. They're their own fans. They went and won 3-0. I mean, it is absolutely madness, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, I was so surprised. Forest, when you look at those two teams they lost to, Wigan and Hull, that you could say they're pretty poor compared with the rest of the Championship. And they've gone and lost the two games. Bristol City on Saturday, they lost at Luton, and it was by all accounts, a terrible performance, lacking the wrong sort of attitude. And obviously, Lee Johnson turned it around at our expense last night. But, yeah, this is what we've got. West Brom, they got a very scrappy 1-0 win at Middlesbrough. They didn't play well at the Riverside on Saturday. And they only got back into that game on Tuesday with an own goal to kickstart proceedings to get them back. So, yeah, there is a lot of hope. I just feel... I'm just a bit concerned. If we did end up losing on Saturday, then there'd be 8 points between us and West Brom. And, you know, then it would be getting back to looking...
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, we spoke about it a few weeks ago. We weren't even looking at the top of the table, were we, when we first came into the division? So we'll be happy with that.
Yeah, we will. Let's just gloss over the game from last night, because we don't want to dwell on it too much, but we have to do our due diligence. It was Bristol City, and it's always tough. Any defeat's tough, but you can always be honest. But when you do go 1-0 up, when you do concede a winner in the 98th minute when there's only 6 minutes of added time, it is a very, very bitter pill to swallow, isn't it, Ollie?
Oh, 6 minutes out of time, they scored the 98th. It's just keep playing until they score, like next goal wins or something.
Hey. Classic school days football. Yeah. Why did Charlton pick up the ball and walk off and say, we're not playing anymore?
It's my ball, my mum's calling me, I've got to go. It's really tough to take that one. There's really, you know, the attitude is really, we all got a bit down after it. I think, you know, you obviously have to step back and you say, you know, our context, you know, we're still on top half the table, we've got loads of points, 11 points clear, the drop zone. Obviously, all good things to think about, but you know, with a result like that, it's hard to take, isn't it?
It is, but I mean, it's like Lee Bowyer said after. Sorry, Paul. Lee Bowyer said after the game, we just didn't use our loaf. You know what I mean? Yeah. A little bit of experience, because obviously Prattley weren't on. He said he would have smashed Casey Palmer all day long. He wouldn't have got that crossing. You know what I mean? It's just that those little things. You know, the players are going to learn from it. That's all we hope for.
A bit of naivety, wasn't there, Paul?
Yeah, I was a bit surprised actually, because obviously on Saturday our shape was wonderful in the defence, and we played a back three on Saturday. Another sort of tactical piece of genius by Lee for the game against Derby. But yeah, we seemed to lose our shape when we went 1-0 up. You know, we were a bit sloppy. But I think one of the key parts of the game was going back into the first half, because we obviously had those two substitutions and we were bringing on the likes of Chris Solly and Darren Prattley. And I'm sure Lee wanted to only use them for the Saturday's game against West Brom. So more minutes have been pumped into the legs of Solly and Prattley. And obviously with Bristol bringing on their subs, and they were key subs because it was the scorer, Juju, is that how you pronounce it? And who was the other guy who came on?
Scored the winner, wasn't it?
Brownhill scored the winner. I think he brought in Casey Palmer. And obviously fresh legs. And that possibly was a key reason for our downfall. But it was very unlike Lee Bowie's Charlton to sort of, you know,
well, find
out like
we are down to bare bones. Because if you look, we had Josh Davison on the bench. And we've literally just signed him from Enfield Town only for the under-23s. And all of a sudden the kid's got on the bench.
Yeah. Big moment for him. Well, you said there was a bit of naivety, a little bit gamesmanship needed in that game up from a few veteran players, because it is still a young team. Maybe it went, the wheels come off, shall we say, when there was a bit of handbags towards the end of the game and there was a bit of a scrap. But I've got to say, not just saying it, Charlton, they weren't really at fault there, wrongdoing. I mean, the Bristol City players were going mad, like their player had, you know, was being the victim of something, but he started it all.
Well, I've seen Gary Johnson, Lee Johnson.
Lee Johnson.
Lee Johnson saying he's going to appeal to sending off. I just find that amazing. I mean, it's the easiest red card of the season, I think, for that ref anyway.
Yeah, and why, I hate this, is my worst thing. You know, when he threw his arms in the air, like, what am I being sent off for? Mm. The audacity. You've just kicked Pierce, who's on the floor, and you've kicked him about four times, Ollie.
Yeah, you could get done for assault after that. What's he talking about, no red card? How are you going to appeal that? No one's going to take that back. Is it red card all day?
Yeah, well, Mark, you did mention he should be added maybe a possibly extra game. We haven't had it for a while, have
well,
we?
Well, yeah, they used to do the old frivolous appeal, so we'll whack on another one for you, son. There you go.
Yeah, I'll definitely be signing that petition, but it was 2-1. It was a disappointing defeat. We're putting it in our rearview mirror. We're not going to talk about it much more than that. We are going to look at the game on the weekend, and we're going to talk to Brian Cole next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Cholton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined by the SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, Martin Atkins and Ollie Cook. We were just talking those two games, the brilliant victory against Derby and the not-so-brilliant performance last night, or not-so-brilliant result, shall I say, against Bristol City, them snatching a 98th-minute winner. And I'm delighted to say, joining us now in better news, because we're forgetting that, is Brian Cole, the Cholton Stadium announcer. Brian, it's a real pleasure to have you on the show once more and to talk to you again. Not the best of results last night, really gutted, a 98th minute winner. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was a good performance by the lads last night, and to be honest with you, we deserved at least a point, but obviously that goal in the 8th minute of 6 minutes of injury at the end, it was 6 minutes went up on the board and we were a bit concerned when that went up, and of course they scored in the 8th minute of injury time, because it does mean minimum of 6 minutes, unfortunately. But no, the lads deserve to get more than that. They certainly deserved at least a point. Bit of a lapse in the defensive side of it for that last that second goal to go in, but let's not start throwing ourselves off tall buildings at that result last night, because there's been one or two people that have been saying they want to throw themselves under a bus or something after that result last night. But I was one of the fantastic 1,300 fans we had down there at the Ashton Gate last night. And once again, the support was absolutely outstanding by the Charlton fans. And the performance was certainly good enough to have got a point last night. So I'm really not depressed at all today.
Well, that's good to hear, Brian. I mean, I admire your positivity. And obviously, as a stadium announcer, in games gone past, when we've had a few defeats, you've got to show that sort of cheeriness and keep us going on the right track. But I personally have been mulling it over, and I've been a bit down today. But you just touched upon it. You've got the sort of perspective, you can get on with it. And so what's your sort of way of dealing with setbacks like this?
Well, the thing is, I'm not seeing it as a setback at all, Charlie. I think the thing is, what you've got to look at is, it's a 46-game season. We've just been promoted through the playoffs into the Championship. Every bookmaker was rubbing their hands together, saying, right, we know who's going to be going down this year. Actually, it's going to be Charlton. But they didn't count for Lee Bowyer and his fantastic team, Johnny Jackson and Marsh, and everybody else behind the scenes on the management team. We have got a fantastic management team that was going to get this team working together throughout the whole season. And four defeats so far, what is it, 13 games in?
Yeah.
Well, if we lose four games in out of 13 this year, I still think that would get us a nice position in the top half of the table, certainly no worse than mid-table. And I don't think there's a Charlton supporter out there that would have argued about that come the beginning of the season.
Well, if you look at it, Brian, I mean, all of us would have said fourth and bottom, we'd be happy that, wouldn't we?
Well, once we've done about happy, but
we would have had to say, come on, look, let's get in that division, let's consolidate, and then move on from there, you know.
But
we've got to be exceeding expectations of some of the fans.
So, Brian,
possibly. Sorry, but as I say, the important thing is, let's all stay together. We've got Lee Bowyer. We need to get him on a longer contract, if anybody is tuning in on the internet from Belgium. He's got to get a much longer contract signed. It'd be great if we can get Lyle Taylor on a longer contract as well. Make sure we keep him now that he's got the brace off and we're all rejoicing around South East London and a little part of the South Coast. We've just got to stay positive. It's only a result of Bristol City. We haven't been tonked 8-0. We lost a very narrowly 2-1 at Bristol City, who are now fourth in the league.
Yes, and also the positives for me for last night, Brian, was I was very impressed with KL coming through the game. I mean, he gave us about 75 minutes. I thought he looked very handy. And also, I'm really getting excited now with Taylor coming back and the possibilities of having both Bon and Taylor playing together. What do you think about that?
That'll be fantastic, as long as we've got some players behind them.
Exactly,
because they're dropping like flies. And it's so frustrating. I mean, I had a phone call from Lee last night asking me if I could bring me boots for Saturday. So that's how serious things are. And I don't play field myself, so I tend to stay off the pitch nowadays.
Well, I know he's...
doing the crossbar challenge.
I know he's just recalled Alfie Doughty, isn't he, from Bromley, I believe, so...
I haven't seen that news today.
I think they have recalled him, yeah, so that's... Maybe that'll give us an idea of the problems we've got then.
And Brian, just talk about you for a minute. Obviously, for myself and for a lot of Charlton fans, you are the voice of our Saturdays. But how's that come about? How do you find yourself, you know, with a microphone inside the pitch, telling us to cheer on the boys?
Well, it all started, believe it or not, back in, I think it was about 1988, just towards the tail end of the season where we won the title for the championship. I think it was actually Division One still then. And I was asked if I wanted to do it, take over, because the guy that was doing it was leaving and didn't want to do it anymore. So they wrote me in and said, would I want to do it? I said, yeah, I'd love to do it. So I went along and I did the pitch side only. I didn't do all the main announcements on goals and all that. I just did the stuff at half time and that sort of thing. I did that for a number of years. And then there was an infamous incident, which I won't dwell on now, involving our stripy friends from just down the road. And I stopped doing it for about 14 years after that. And then Big Dave Lockwood decided he wanted to go because of various reasons. And they asked me if I'd like to come back. And that's now, what, three? This is my fourth season back, I think it is. And I just love it. It's such a privilege to be the voice of the Valley. It's an absolute honour. The only thing is I never see much of the game at the cover then, because there's this bench full of people called Bowyer and Marsh and Jackson all keep standing up, getting in the way of my view, where I'm sitting.
Talking of which, you was on the pitch on Saturday. You did a brilliant job for Lyle's Pink October. And we just want to... Can you talk us through that rascal shirt you was wearing?
Hey, listen, there's some... what some of you guys don't know is I have an alter ego, but I'll tell you about that in a second. But no, of course, it was a big day for Lyle's Cancer UK Day, and I got a cuddle off Lyle on Saturday.
Yeah, I saw.
You saw it, did you? Oh, make sure you keep the pictures. So yeah, that was the reason behind that particular pink number. Yeah. But I do have an alter ego in what I do for a living. Because I don't just do the announcing at Charlton, I've got a living as well. Yeah. I actually wear that sort of shirt every day to work.
Oh, okay, blimey.
That's gone quiet. Now you're intrigued.
Go on, then, tell us more.
Don't leave it there.
About 18 months ago, my mum got dementia and is in a care home. And I went up to see her one day. She's in Croydon, so she's suffered enough as it is, but she's in Croydon, her care home. And we went and saw her, and everybody in the care home was sitting around, all miserable and not doing anything. So I said, shall we sing a song, Mum? So we just started singing, and everybody lit up in the room. And I thought, this is good. And I was having a bit of a problem with a bit of mild depression, believe it or not. I'd been in sales for 30-odd years. And I thought, I wonder if there's a way of making a living singing to people in care homes and making them happy. And I decided that I'd give it a go about 18 months ago around the care homes in Portsmouth where I was living. And they started saying, yeah, we'd love you to come in. And then more started saying, love you to come in. And I've now done just over 340 shows.
Good for you.
In 18 months.
Brilliant. Oh, brilliant.
Absolutely
well done,
incredible.
And I'll tell you what, it's the best job in the world, apart from one. And we all know what that one is.
Yeah.
It's a close that's the story
two.
Behind my Hawaiian shirt.
Great Hawaiian shirts. Yeah, I love them. And another thing I do love, actually, one of my favourite parts of the match, well, apart from the actual match itself, is the crossbar challenge at half-time, which obviously you host. I just have a question about... what you say before he kicks it, because you used to say, my favourite little catchphrase, it's not far, let's hit the bar, but you stopped saying that. Why the change?
Well, you see, the thing is, you've noticed.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say, you know, the fact that you've noticed means that at least one person can hear our PA, which is great. No, sometimes I say it, sometimes I don't. I don't have any set script for any of that. You know, I say, do the countdown and then off you go. It's not far, let's hit the bar. Now, it all depends on... Also, the other thing is it all depends on how much time I've got.
Oh, right.
Because I've got time pressures all the time in my ear while we're doing that. I don't know if you noticed how quick the birthday messages were read on Saturday.
It's like a rap.
I had a page and a half of birthdays to read out in about a 10-point size, 10-point font. And there was a page and a half of them, and on the script it allowed me 90 seconds. So I decided there's only one way to do that, and that's speed reading. Indeed. So that's what I did. So there is always, to answer your question seriously, I don't always say the same things each time because it does depend how much time I've got to do it with everything else that's still got to be done, because we don't want the players coming out whilst I'm still doing stuff. Because we actually had one incident last year where I was still nattering away on the script, and the players were actually standing in the penalty area while we were trying to take the crossbar challenge. And, you know, we've got to be so tight on this. And the guys behind the scenes do a fantastic job keeping everything moving. But, you know, there's going to be times when it takes longer than we anticipated, and that was one of those occasions. But just for you, Sunday morning, next Sunday. I'll be up at about 6:30, 7 o'clock to leave Fareham at about 7:30 in the morning for a home game. Just remember that.
Yeah.
And when we do the crossbar challenge on the game against Preston, just for you.
Give Ollie a shout out.
It's
not
very far. Let's hit the bar.
And that's for Ollie. That's for Ollie.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Just for Ollie. Lovely. All right. I'll try and remember it's for Ollie.
Brian, we'll hold you to it. Brian, it's an absolute pleasure whenever you're on the show. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. I really want to talk to you again later on in the season. Brian Coldair, the Cholton Stadium announcer. Just brilliant to have a chat with him tonight. Just a really nice guy. But it's not far. Let's hit the bar. Ollie, that is for you. You have single-handedly, you seem to have brought that back.
I've brought it back. Brought it back as catchphrase.
Good on you. Well, next week, going to be talking about Cholton's incredible calendar year and talking a little bit more about Lyle Taylor, who was on last week.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Cholton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, Martin Atkins and Ollie Cook. Couple of, as Paul says, we'll do our due diligence, house cleaning. Well, few items to talk about. The first one, we had the great Lyle Taylor on last week. He was talking about Lyle's Pink October and how he was, what he was doing on the day to raise money and all the events. He was going to be down at the club shop. I know you was at the game. Martin, how did it all go?
Yeah, it went really, really well. The queue to see him be in the club shop was huge,
which I
must point out, Kenny from the club shop did ask us, he's back in the club shop tomorrow from 5 until 6:30, so get yourself down there. It's half term, get the kids down there and see, go and see Lyle. But yeah, everything went really well. The bucket collections, I mean, Kenny was, well, what he was wearing was absolutely hilarious. He was in a pink Power Rangers uniform. It was unbelievable. And he's a big boy, you know.
Yeah. I'm disappointed just... none of you dyed your hair pink.
No? I had a pink t-shirt and pink socks.
Fair play.
I wore a pink shirt.
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
I should have done my hair pink, you're right.
Ollie, it would have suited you. And I want it, Paul.
Yeah, I was just going to get a couple other items of housekeeping. It's worth mentioning that not only is it a sellout in the away end at West Brom on Saturday, Matt Dainty was telling me in the week, he was coming on in a minute, that basically it's probably going to be West Brom's first complete sellout this season. So that's it's going to be absolutely...
Charlton
are
here.
You're only here to see Charlton.
You're only here for the Charlton.
Couldn't have teed it up any better. I absolutely love this show. Well, as Paul said, I weirdly just said we've got to do a bit of house cleaning, and Paul said we've got to do a bit of housekeeping, and you were so right, Paul, but cleaning, keeping, we'll go with it. I don't know why I said cleaning, but we do have to do it on this show. And we mentioned last week that the Twitter is flying. It went past 500. You got your 500 follower. Yep. Now you're absolutely near 600. Mark. It's going from strength to strength. I'm keeping my eye on it. But I did want to ask about Twitter and not just social media, fans in general, because Brian did touch upon it there, Paul. There feels like a massive reaction to this defeat. It is one defeat. All of a sudden, you know, I was checking on it from the SE7 podcast Twitter, which you can follow and check out as well. But it seems to be everyone, like, after this result, it seemed like the world was coming to an end, Mark.
I just don't get it. I mean, you know, I've been battling with one guy all day about Dylan Phillips. I mean, he was... You know, he seemed to think Dylan Phillips should have saved the second goal. And I'm thinking, blimey, I don't know what planet you're on, son, but I can't see it. I mean, and then another guy was having a go about Chuck Saniki, saying he don't look like he can change a game. It's difficult, you know. The guy's just come back from being injured. He's gone straight into a game that, you know, we're on the back foot on in the at the time. Yeah, I mean, we every club's got them, haven't they? That you know, that little fringe of, or you could call them the lunatic fringe at, you know, nothing's ever good enough for him, you know, and we'll fight fires with him, that's it.
Yeah, I think the problem with social media is that it provides a knee-jerk reaction.
And yeah, it's
a platform that's there to sort of vent your anger. And, you know, within minutes of the final whistle, I mean, last night, as Martin said, everyone, the scapegoat last night was Chuck Soniki, who came on as our 75th-minute substitute, changed the dynamics of the midfield. Unfortunately, he's the sort of guy, he's very deceptive. He hasn't sort of got that sort of energetic look about him. And I personally think he's very good on the ball. And one or two performances, I've been very impressed with him.
Yeah,
a lot of people were saying that perhaps Lee got it wrong tactically for the first time ever last night, because maybe Sarr should have come on. But, you know, we've got to look at the whole thing. We're having a fantastic season. Yeah. Really enjoying this season.
You just get beat. You know? Sometimes you come up against a bit. So it's not tactics. It's not one player. Sometimes these things happen in a league where we're saying it always happens.
As
Mark.
Paul said, you know, it's that knee-jerk reaction. You've come out. You get your old dog and bone out your pocket. Think, yeah. Right, or can I say on Twitter, I'm really angry. Rah, give it all that. You know, it's just...
I'm unfortunate.
And then they wake up this morning and look at their phone and think, oh, God, did I say that last night?
Yeah. Bit of sympathy. It was a 98th-minute loss. I mean, some people are going to come back away from that a bit upset. I get that, you know, you go straight on the phone and be a bit silly, but, you know, everyone was upset at that point, weren't they?
But it could be worse. You could lose to a 96-minute winner in the League One playoff final at Wembley.
Wembley, you're right, yeah. You're right. Could be worse. I feel better now.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take it all into the equation. Let's quickly talk about a positive stat, though, because Charlton have an incredible calendar year. Most points collected in a year. Man City at 70. Liverpool at 68. We know the race they had in the Premier League. Well, who's next? Charlton at 66. That was at the time of the stat this week. How incredible is that, though? 66 points this calendar year. When you talk about Liverpool, arguably one of the best teams in Europe, European champions, Man City 70, you know, twice now they've won the Premier League on the spin, then Charlton at 66. I mean, where do we begin, Mark?
I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's. I think that's what it is. We were talking about the fans not being happy with the game last night, you know. They've been spoilt, you know, over this last year. You know, we just don't know what it's like to lose games that often. You know, so, and that's a brilliant stat. I mean, it's on. We see it on Twitter from Playmaker Stats. It's a great little stat site, and then really, it was a really good stat that.
Yeah, and when you think about it, back in January, it didn't start very well because we lost Carlin Grant. Everyone was a little bit down. But I mean, once we got the January transfer window out of the way and Lyle Taylor came back from his suspension, I mean, the points we accumulated in the second half of that season and how we caught up the likes of Sunderland and Portsmouth and to grab that third place to play the so-called weaker side Doncaster, I mean, that was where it all came from, that clump of points to put us in that position and to catch up with those teams.
When you're in a bubble like that, because you just go from week to week, game to game, and you know, you're chasing it in League One, now you're in the Championship, you don't really see 2019 as a whole. But Lyle Taylor himself, he tweeted, like, what? I can't even believe that stat. And he's part of that side, almost like mind blown. Did you three, as fans, have to take a step back and go, that's incredible. This 2019 we've had, you know, many teams see that.
We have gone through it, and but then when you sit there and look at it in black and white and on a bit of paper or on the phone in front, and you think, blimey, that's unbelievable.
It is an incredible stat, but no one's still talking about us. They're talking about Liverpool, Man City, you can understand that. But they're talking about teams in the Championship, talking about Leeds, talking about Forest, but then no one's talking about the points we've got.
We're talking about us, mate.
We're talking
that's
about
all
it. Yeah, that's all that matters.
We are on the Charlton fans here on Love Sport Radio. Someone else who wants to talk about Charlton, and of course, it is tradition. Ahmed, it's such a pleasure, as always, to have you on. I hope you've got your alliteration ready. You've had a week to prepare it. It's been two games.
Here we go.
And you want to speak about those two
drum
games,
roll.
Don't you?
I just want to say to the lads, the Derby game was absolutely exceptional.
Absolutely.
It was impressive, incisive, and inspiring.
Get in, Ahmed!
We just outplayed Derby for the whole game, apart from that one chance right at the end when their guy got the ball passed over the top and he just ran onto it through two defenders, and good old Dill saved it.
Right.
So they didn't even get a consolation goal.
Well, and what did you make of the Bristol game? Two for two. Come on, Ahmed.
No, I haven't prepared for that. I was disappointed, actually. Probably because we're doing so well, you expect to win every game. That's the problem, I think, really. And when we don't, everyone goes on a great big downer about it. So,
well, this is what we've been talking about, Ahmed. You know, knee-jerk reactions. And we're saying how well you've been doing. We talk about the calendar year, 66 points. Absolutely incredible, isn't it?
It's fantastic. The consistency of it is the longevity that it's being carried on almost from week to week.
What were your thoughts, though, Ahmed, when that 98th minute winner went in for Bristol last night?
I mean, I've watched it on TV. I mean, we seemed to lose our shape at the back. I mean, the ball got kicked up. Was it Casey Palmer? He chipped it over the top.
He did.
There was no one behind whoever was that first defender.
Larger, yeah.
And the guy just literally, great bit of skill and control. Yeah, I mean, that's what made the opportunity. But there wasn't any defence.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's always tough to
take that.
That's
the first time this season we've done something like that.
Yeah,
defensively, an error defensively like that that exposed us, and they scored a late goal. I'm sure Bowyer wasn't too happy about that. I wouldn't be surprised.
No, definitely not known as mentality.
And the only other part of the game that, which I don't really want to talk about, but Lee Johnson, I've lost a lot of respect for that manager when
right.
he turned around and said it shouldn't have been a red card. If you saw the replay on TV, two of their players were literally just kicking. What's his name on the ground?
Yeah, Pierce.
And that's why the linesman signalled it, because he must have seen it.
Unbelievable scenes, Ahmed.
It's disgraceful that another manager won't even condone a red card when it obviously was a red card for violent conduct.
Ahmed, what about this build-up of this injury crisis now?
Well, this reminds us of last season to a degree, doesn't it?
What goes on with this club? We get so many injuries, don't we?
I don't know. I keep thinking that. Why do we get so many pulled hamstrings for a start? That you know, if you've done your pre-season and if you're doing the proper preparation for games, surely you know the hamstring could be one of the last things that's going to go if you're exercising yourself properly.
Yeah, I mean, we're down to the bare bones now. What sort of side do you think he'll put out on Saturday? Can you sort of do a little prediction for us, the lineup?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, who's he got left, basically? I mean, perhaps he'll try and keep the back four that was there against Bristol City if he can. I mean, obviously, Souls will come in, obviously, again, possibly, and have the same back four. And then it depends on what formation he wants to play and who he's got left to play that formation. I mean, the Brighton guy, I can't remember his name, he looks like he'll probably get another start,
KL,
no doubt.
Yeah.
We can't play the two low knees, although Sam Field looked like he might be injured for quite a bit by the looks of it. That didn't look good at all.
Yeah, another one, as Brian Cole said, dropping like flies. Ahmed, whatever way...
Unfortunately, at the moment, we've got Cullen, which is great, because he's outstanding at the moment. So, it's who's going to play... If Field's not going to play with him, who else has he got to play holding midfield player, possibly? I remember someone... I was reading one of the boards, and someone was complaining that we had too many midfielders. I bet they're not complaining now, given the injury problems we've been having. Hello.
Sorry, Charlie. Have you come?
I was just
come
thinking
back
about
into
all
the room, Charlie.
Injuries that Charlton are getting, because it's just been absolutely incredible from last season to this. Ahmed, as always, we really appreciate you joining us. Whatever happens on the weekend, I'm sure you'll be calling in to tell us about it. Ahmed, there a tradition on this show. Another tradition on this show is the opposition view. We're talking about it next.
We've lost the plot.
Love Sport. That's right. It's time for the opposition view on Love Sport, and you are listening to the Cholton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, Martin Atkins and Ollie Cook. We've been across the two games because the games in the Championship come thick and fast. We were talking to Brian Cole, the Cholton Stadium announcer, and now, though, we go to another special guest. We are talking to Matt Dainty, who is the commercial manager at West Brom, but he's a Cholton fan. And Matt, we spoke to you before, and it is an absolute pleasure to have you on once again. West Brom obviously flying high themselves in the Championship, although it was a difficult result to Barnsley in the week. They were 2-0 down. They managed to come back, but at the time, they was riding high at the top. Barnsley were at the bottom. What went wrong, Matt?
You can never trust those matches, top versus bottom. You never know. I think we were overconfident. By we, I mean West Brom in this instance. I'm going to get very confused in this conversation. There's going to be two teams called we.
Yes.
But I think they were overconfident. I really do. And I think the first half, Barnsley came with a game plan and they executed it perfectly. And I think, to be fair to Slaven Bilic, at half-time, he made a double substitution and that changed the game, so at least he had the inkling to make that change. And second half, West Brom were all over Barnsley. Barnsley ended up having 8 players booked, the vast majority of which were for time-wasting. Their goalkeeper could easily have been sent off for time-wasting. He time-wasted for the whole second half.
Hi, Matt. It's good to be back on. So, We were talking last time. We've obviously got two players from West Brom in Sam Field and Jonathan Lecco. At the beginning of the season, you said that you know West Brom might miss them. Obviously, not so much riding high on the table at the moment. But what are the thoughts from the West Brom end about how they're getting on with Charlton?
I think West Brom are happy to see them both getting minutes. Obviously, Field getting injured yesterday. I know he came back up to West Brom for a scan today. I don't know the results of that scan, but I don't think it looks particularly promising. I think they're glad to see them both getting minutes. And I think if Field is injured and injured for a while, I think that will be disappointing for both sides and everyone concerned. And I think with Lecco, he's sort of fulfilling what I said, where one minute it'll be really exciting and then get you off your seat and then suddenly not sure what to do with the ball at the right time or holds on to it slightly too long. But him getting game time will be really, really good for his development. And I think West Brom are happy with how it's going so far.
So, Matt, West Brom have conceded two goals in four home games this season to Reading, Huddersfield, Cardiff and Barnsley. Perhaps there's areas for Charlton to exploit there. But at the same time, West Brom out of those games, 1-2 and drew 2, having scored 12 in the process. But at least there's something for Lee Bowyer to work on there. But there's also the creativity of your midfield duo. Is it Diagana, who's on loan from West Ham, and the chap on loan from Sporting Liz and Pereira? They look quite a threat.
Those two are really exciting players. West Brom will give teams opportunities because of the way that they play. And I think there's almost a we'll score more than you mentality. And you know, I expect both teams to score at the weekend. Diangana is probably a bit like how Charlton would look at some of the players they've got on loan like Gallagher and say, well, you don't want him to get called back by his parent club in January because he's done really, really well for West Brom so far. And Pereira, the club's got a option to buy Pereira in January, which I expect that they'll take just because he's been such a revelation since he's come into the team.
And another one I've picked out, Nathan Ferguson. He's only 18, I think, but he's been likened by Slaven Bilic to Declan Rice, who of course he managed at West Ham. Is he another one to look out for on Saturday?
He is, and he can play anywhere across the back four. He's played right back, centre half and left back so far. It shows that I've been at West Brom far too long because I remember him being 8 years old and being a ball boy, and now he's playing in the team. So I've been there far too long now. Ferguson's doing really, really well. And he wasn't someone expected this year to break through. But Slaven Bilic was impressed with him in pre-season and chucked him straight in against Nottingham Forest in the first game of the season, and he got man of the match. So he's done really, really well. And a strange stat for West Brom is that the regular starting 11, all 10 outfield players have scored. We've had 13 different scorers this season so far. So there's goal threats all over the park.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I mean, you know, literally, there's not no one running away with amount of goals in the team. But they've just spread it out all over the squad, haven't they? So, you know, there's not really anyone we've got to look out for. We've got to look out for everyone. So it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, I think it will be a tough game. And I think, I'm disappointed seeing Charlton's injury list getting bigger and bigger by the minute because I've been teasing everyone at work all week that Charlton are going to turn up and get a result, and I still hope that that's the case. There's no sitting on the fence. I've made it quite clear who I want to win on Saturday.
Well, we were commenting earlier that you must be the first guest from the opposition view who wants Charlton to win, so that's quite incredible, Matt. But what would be your key piece of advice to Lee Bowyer going into this game, knowing what you do know about West Brom?
You've got to counter the pace of Pereira and Diangana. If you shut off those two, the supply to the rest of the team, they'll get frustrated. And that's what they've got to try and do. Keep the ball away from those two.
Really?
And be prepared for the pace of those two. They're really, really quick players. West Brom, however, in defence are quite slow. So any pace Charlton have to run at that defence, that will be really important.
Yeah.
The other one is if you can... I'd always... West Brom try and play out from the back. Now, Ajay was in the Charlton youth team. He's quite good at playing out from the back, whereas Kyle Bartley, the other centre-half, is prone to a lapse of concentration and an error. So if they can force the ball to him and force him into a mistake, that's how you can create chances.
And just a little bit about you, Matt, personally. I mean, what's it been like working for West Bromwich Albion, and what's been your personal highlights being attached to such a great club?
I've been there a long time. So as soon as I finished uni, which, as Paul, you'll know.
Yes, indeed.
I couldn't get a job at Charlton, so I went back home and got a job at West Brom.
As you do. But you've got a degree in geology. What's the connection between rocks and the baggies?
I think there's oil under the pitch at the Hawthorns.
Matt, we have to put you on the spot. You know he's coming. What is your score prediction? It's going to be a difficult one for you, but what are you predicting on the weekend?
Well, everyone at work told me that I had to say a draw, so I'm going to say Charlton are going to win 2-1.
Yeah, good for you, Matt. Well done, Matt. Matt, it's a real pleasure to have you on and talk to you. You're welcome anytime. Matt Dainty there, the commercial manager at West Brom, but he's a Charlton fan. He went for the Charlton win. I turn my attentions to you in the studio. I'll start with you, Paul. How do you think the game will play out, and what is your score prediction?
Yeah, I agree with Matt. There's definitely a threat in that midfield, and I think Charlie Austin got off the mark the other week. I mean, you know, he signed from Southampton for £4 million. There's threats coming everywhere. I slightly disagree with him about the defence, because I think their central defenders, when they went to Craven Cottage, they did a great job on the likes of Mitrovic and Knockhart and Caballero. So... All parts of that team have got to be taken seriously. I think with our injury situation, it's going to be a little bit bridge too far, and I'm going for a 2-1 West Brom win.
2-1. Mark, how do you think the game will play out? Where can Charlton hurt West Brom? Where can they hurt you? We're hearing about it.
They do concede goals. That's a fact. I mean, they're unbeaten at home, so that's a record we'll want to take. But I agree with Paul. I think we're going to struggle up there. I think it's going to be a 3-1 defeat, I think.
3-1 defeat, Ollie. Yeah. You are the positive man. You're the optimist. It's why I come to you last. Before you give me that score prediction, how will the game play out?
I'm just going to be excited to be there. I'm really looking forward to it.
1,300, yeah.
Well, Charlton are obviously going to set up to, you know, limit their chances, make it really difficult to get shots away. They can have the ball for a long amount of time, but we've got people like Prattley and Cullen in the midfield who can really just drag players away who we see as threats. And we're going to do a job on them, so we're going to win 2-0.
How about that? Overhead scissor kick by Bond this weekend.
I'll buy you a pint after the game if that's the score.
And Dylan Phillips is going to score. There we are.
Is he going to get the first or the second? Well, Ollie is going for 2-0. Mark and Paul, they're not so sure. They're saying it may be a bridge too far. I just wanted to quickly talk, because we do have one more item, Paul. You mentioned housekeeping. Charlton, they may not have got the result in the week, but they're proving ever popular, because for a long time now, they don't really have a 3 o'clock kickoff, and they seem like they're on telly quite a lot.
Yeah, it's incredible. They made some more announcements yesterday. So we got the three games in November on Sky, Preston on Sunday week, then we got Cardiff and Sheffield Wednesday. And then going towards Christmas,
have they moved the Millwall game? Sorry, Paul, interrupted you.
No. The Millwall game is the only 3 o'clock kickoff November away from home. But going towards Christmas, they've moved the whole game from the Saturday to the Friday night. And then the Derby game is going to be changed from a Sunday to a Monday, and that's officially a working day, so that's going to be tough for supporters. And the Swansea game, which was originally for New Year's Day, is now the 2nd, which obviously people back to work. It's not easy getting back from the South Welsh coast at 10 o'clock at night on the 2nd of January.
Yeah, as always, fans come last, but we will be here at Love Sport across all the games and the Charlton games and on the Charlton Fan Show every Thursday, 9 to 10. It is West Brom this weekend, and next week we will be giving you a review of that game.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.